Mark, so we're all happy to see. And I'll just say to thank you all here to our last week of the year. We're all very ahead in the house, I'd say, so it's a nice way to finish it off. Also, maybe just a little bit of our thanks for the staff who worked tirelessly over the last weekend, but I've been still hit. And we had the record collecting bins again on Monday and Tuesday, even with the adverse weather conditions. Have we any apologies?
I'm sure I've heard apologies, but would you mention that we sell a heart to the family heart? But the latter will take a better Christmas and hopefully all works will take well.
I think it'll be very good, Mr. Andrew. So can you send a card in from the committee and the story? Item number three, we have the action sheet, folks. So if we want to go through the action sheet, we have page 1, 2, 3, and 4. Has anyone got any issues with the action sheet?
That's just in relation to the very event, I know that I spoke to Liam earlier on today about making the strategic race working group, and it's good to see that we're going to Christmas start with the free bins. You know, there's been the cut-off period to request a bin HRT to the end of March 2018. That's good news, and I was saying just a little bit too happy to propose that we go ahead with the action sheets.
Are we all content then?
Just in regards to the caddies and making them available for the public bills, has there been any progress on that?
Caddies, yes. I think we're restricting caddy provision, but we're certainly running out of the lines to the public bills.
We are responding to any request for caddy.
We also have made a proposal in the list estimate in the incoming year for £5,000 to be provided for the purchase of approximately just under 6,000 caddy. So certainly there is a future provision that will be come to the council maybe to look at for next year.
Councillor Andrews, I'm just wanting to go back over and clarify. Will you make a proposal then that the free bins should be extended till
March to go ahead with the recommendations, and also I'd like to take up the attack on the officers and staff involved in the rolling of the bins since it's been a gigantic task but it's performed well.
So we have a proposal then for an extension then of the rolling of brown bins for free then to repairs until March with a seconder. And then I think we'll go on to item 4. Item 4 is the application for amusement permit at 4 Margaret Square. And if I can hand over then to Colin Jackson, please.
Thank you, Chair. I hope everyone can hear me. Members will be aware that we received an application for amusement permit at number 4 Margaret Square in Newry. The application was received by our licensing department on the 4th of July. And following the public advert, we received 6 letters of objection. Subsequently, we held a hearing here on the 27th of September, whereby all interested parties expressed their views to and for the issue of the permit. Following the hearing, there were 4 areas of concern were raised, and at that hearing, the decision was actually deferred. Following the deferral, a state meeting was arranged, which took place on the 1st of November, and that followed by a meeting in Newry Town Hall. At that second meeting, members expressed their concerns and requested the legal advice on the matter. And the legal advice was provided here at an information session on the 22nd of November. The legal advice concluded that all grounds for refusal had been addressed, and as such, I am recommending here this evening that the application for the amusement permit at 4 Market Square should go through for approval. Happy to take any questions.
Is there any questions? I think there's myself and Clint Andrews are really two of them from that hearing here present, so if it needs to be, then I will propose them.
Thanks, I think.
If you go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Agreement then, so.
Thank you, Chair.
Items number 5-7 are regarding the planning. We have Anthony Kyle with us here. If anyone has any questions regarding any of the issues between items 5 and 7, we can address it then, Jason Anthony.
Maybe we could just quickly take you through some of the tables starting on page 8. Table 1, live applications. The numbers of applications we're receiving, as you see in that first column, it is generally quite healthy, probably better than many council authorities receiving applications is holding up well. Live applications, we've now reduced our live applications to 880, which is as low as it has been during the life of this council. You'll note in that third column of live applications over 12 months old, we've got that figure down to 230, near from that start at 293. You will see in Table 2 there, live applications by length of time in the system. All of those figures are heading in a downward direction. You know, we're tackling the backlog across all of those categories, you know, from the application over 6 months to those that are over 24 months old. You know, there's been progress on all those fronts. Numbers of decisions being issued, Table 4, where you see that the teams are performing very well. And just to give you a comparison, you'll see in Table 4 the number of decisions issued per month from this council. If you aggregate those together, the only council that's issuing more decisions than us is Belfast City Council with 438 applications in the last quarter. We issued 413. The next closest council to ourselves is Mid Ulster with 313, and then we go down to the 200s and 180, for example, from Abbott. So that you can see that the number of decisions that we issue here is far in excess of most other councils are issuing. And similarly, in terms of applications received, we still sit second only to Belfast in terms of the numbers of applications being received. In the last quarter, we received over 400. Belfast received 500. Other councils are receiving as little as 180, 190 in that same period. So it gives you a measure of the volume of work that the department is getting through. And it might be useful and then to point out in Table 5, on page 10, which gives you the number of decisions issued. And by the end of November, we issued 1,145 approvals and 169 refusals. So hopefully that sets a bit of an accurate context in terms of where the balance lies, that overwhelmingly they have comments and applications are actually valid approvals and not as may be portrayed in many quarters that all we do is say no. But I'm happy to take any questions if you have.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. A little question, just an observation, and I must commend the work that the auditor do on your department does. If you look at the lay application for a case officer, 67 lay cases per officer in April. Now, it's a huge workload for any man. Stress obviously is a big issue here in our council, the boundary. It doesn't get much lower down to the current in November, the previous one, 57. Now, I know we have some officers off, you know, for a variety of reasons. But can you qualify how many case officers are dealing with, you know, what is it, three officers dealing with 180 or 200, or four officers dealing with 250 cases per month on average?
Councillor, those figures are the average caseloads per officer. In actual fact, the staff in Dunpatrick are carrying caseloads that are substantially greater than that. They're up in the 80s and 90s at the moment, and that's attributable to a lot of maternity leave and some other sickness that is par for the course in planning. And we are addressing it. There is recruitment ongoing, but I have to say that the staff that we have are very resilient, and you know we have no one off suffering some stress at the moment. That it is very challenging, but like I said, they are holding up very well. There are additional staff coming, and you know we are moving staff around to ensure that we get those caseloads spread among a greater number of people.
Well, even more reason now to come in, you know, yes. When you get a statistic figures as well.
Councillor Kennedy.
Good Chair. On the reference table 2, page 8, between 12 and 18 months, and indeed between 18 and 24 months, there's been a very dramatic decrease in the amount of applications that are pending. But the one that's caught me here is the one over 24 months. It seems to be very stagnant. I'm ready to say the majority of them would be problem ones, primarily from legacy counsel. It's just 24 months, it's just the phrase that we've used there at the table. And I know you addressed Tori there about you hope to get new staff on board, but is there, apart from that, apart from an increase in staff, which will obviously feed into the live applications, is there any other reason why that figure is remaining so stubbornly?
Well, if you consider that the clock keeps ticking, and so applications age with every passing day. So, if you think back, this council has been in existence for more than 24 months. So you will probably find that within that final row of figures, there may well be some applications that arrived in to this council. With every passing day, you potentially add more applications to that category over 24 months. And if you're not getting enough of the really older ones out, that figure, as you pointed out, can remain at a stubbornly high level. There are some problematic applications in there, but we are working across a great many of them at the same time and trying to move as many of them as possible. And you'll appreciate that every applicant and every agent is demanding that their application be given priority, and we're probably guilty of trying to spread our resources across more of those older applications than we can reasonably cope with at one time. But when people are shouting loudly, sometimes you just have to react and seek to keep everybody as happy as possible. But I think you will find that the oldest applications, and those are the ones that have been with us since before December 2014. There are approximately 60 of those left. Those are the really old applications that have come down from 167, I think it was, about a year ago. So there is movement on those old applications, and there is a lot of work that over the next couple of months will deliver a lot of those older applications to the city.
Are we all happy to look to the reports? Translation?
Yeah.
If we can then move on to item 8, which is regarding the bus stop at Clonferry Park in Bradford. Can I have a hand to the avenue for that, please?
Chair, this report concerns the bus shelter which is partially installed in Clopdale Park in early 2017. Completion of the bus shelter was halted following concerns raised by local residents. The report outlines the steps taken since then, Chair, leading up to a meeting of the Sleep Pavilion DEA councillors to consider this. The report will show, Chair, that whilst there was not a consensus from that meeting on the way forward, the recommendation arising from the Sleep Pavilion DEA councillors was the shelter would remain but be turned 180 degrees. The shelter would be finished so it's allowed for full use, and its use be monitored for antisocial behaviour the next 12 months, and its location to be reviewed if this proves to be an issue, Chair. So that's the report in relation to the bus shelter and its recommendation, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Was AB taking a proposal, Chair, that we didn't proceed with the bus shelter on two times, really. And people remember the arguments I made back at the early part of the year, the special circumstances of the family that the bus shelter sits outside. Unique circumstances, which I don't plan to go into the private business again and public forum raised at the time. And so for that reason, Chair, and also the second reason, there's a question mark, given to understand that there's no longer a bus stop, the bus no longer on the new route, Chair, actually stops. So we're putting up, as I understand, a bus shelter where there's no bus stop. So I'm ready for that, Chair, and I would suppose I would appeal to councillors maybe to give this particular family a Christmas present and take this away.
Thank you, Chair. No, I was one of those ministers of press concerned with this upkeep over the year, and continue to have concerns about so I actually went playing some of the information that I was intended to bring tonight, but I've been advised that us actually no longer traveling through this route, and I think that's something that needs to be looked at, because there is concerns about the impact this is going to have on this family, and indeed another neighbour I'm probably where received concerns from in relation to the shelter. No one's saying that there can't be a shelter. We'll try to line up, but I just don't think the concerns have been taken forward here. So I'm happy that Simon Gary's proposal at this stage.
We have a proposal in and a seconder to not continue then with the
Chair, just in relation to one aspect, up until August this year, there was two buses went into this development. One would have come up from the bottom of Clockwork Park and on to Bessbrook, and the other one would have come from Bessbrook down through Clockwork Park and through the Newry. What Translink found, and they advised us in August, they made a change. They found that when both buses were going to Clockbridge Park at the same time. They had definitely passed each other because cars parked on the sides of the road and therefore were held up. Their solution to that was to have one bus going through, so it's not true to say that there's no longer a bus going through this development. The bus does go through this development on an hourly basis during Monday to Friday. It is still well used. The change is that the bus now will only come down or come up through Clockbridge Park. So it is correct to say that where we have the bus shelter is on the opposite side of the road from where the bus will actually travel. But that bus now picks up both passengers. It picks up passengers who want to go to Bestwood, but also passengers who want to go to Newry. Translink still see this as a popular service. The location that we have placed this bus shelter is in the widest part of the footpath within the development. It is halfway up the development and therefore equal distance for people coming from the bottom of the development and people coming from the top of the development. So we still believe that this bus shelter is in its best location, albeit the bus will be travelling up on the opposite side of the road. This is a hail service, which means that the bus is passing through, you put your hand up and the bus will stop and people can cross the road and get onto the bus at that stage. So that's additional information, Chair, I just wanted to add for councillors to clarify the issue raised about the bus no longer going through the development.
Councillor Kelly. Thank you, sir. Sir, my query is not actually in relation to the proper area, so the fact was not on the agenda. I'll not go into too much detail, but could I request at the January meeting we have an appraisal of the proposed bus shelter at Sheebridge as well as Sands, please?
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kelly.
Councillor Clark.
I'm not okay with the area at all, so I'm relying on the officer's report. It's just in regards to the numbers we touched on, it's still well used, the bus shelter. As the users, are the school children, could have some idea who is using the shelter. I'm looking at the report, he's saying there isn't that many close behavior. Following discussions with council fees, PSNI, and just maybe more detail in regards to that. What is the anti-social behavior at the bus shelter? Just to get a general idea, then the same problem, BEA councillors met for a lot of the flavor of that meeting. What was the consensus? So I said there was lack of consensus. So just to get the an idea of what came out of it, because we're sort of in the dark for people who's not, you know, they're
very kind. Maybe to go first and listen and then bring yourself in and result from the DEA perspective, please.
In terms of usage, our information is with Translink that it is still a well used service. There are a number of places, within the development where there's a bus stop. We place a bus shelter at one particular site where the bus stop is. It is a service that's used by young school children in the morning going to school, but it's also used during the day by people living in the development to either go to Bestwood or probably more likely to go into Newry. We have consulted with PSNI in relation to the site in this bus shelter. It's not accurate to say that there's currently antisocial behaviour associated with the bus shelter, because the bus shelter really hasn't been finished. And since we've plugged in, I'm not aware of any specific issues that have been raised. The concern from local residents is that the bus shelter, if we finish it and it starts to be used, may become a location where antisocial behaviour could occur, causing disturbance to local residents. But that reality, my understanding is, has not materialised as yet. Sorry, the third question, I just forgot what it was, Councillor. Oh yes, the consensus at the meeting. There was debate amongst the councillors. Some councillors were in favour of finishing the shelter and see how things develop. And if things prove as some residents feared to be a source of antisocial behaviour, that it be reviewed and the location of the bus shelter be reconsidered. Other councillors who are present in the meeting have expressed their view already. But there was, at the end of the meeting, only one recommendation that was put forward, and that was the recommendation that I have given within the report.
Okay, thanks. Councillor Gaylor.
Yeah, but Charles did say that, you know, there was, you know, a fairly, fairly catchy discussion about the issue, because there has been, you know, ongoing concerns about this issue in ideas and the previous statements. And I think the important thing is that I'm certainly not saying that there shouldn't be a bus shelter. I think it's really scared there needs to be a bus shelter, but just think the location where it's proposed at the minute just isn't taking on board the concerns that there are. And I'm conscious that we aren't public meeting here and there is kind of medical issues, you know, that could be mentioned, but I don't want to really win them at this stage. And you know, I did have one concern at the meeting, that there appeared to be some similar concerns raised by another resident about a possible location for the bus shelter, and then concerns seemed to be given more relevance than what was then raised about this particular constituent. And I just thought there was an imbalance there that way two different parties have been treated in their concerns. But certainly, and I don't want them to be going away saying that certainly that I think there needs to be a bus shelter. I just think the location where it is at the minute could cause difficulties down the line. But it's a very, very difficult case to resolve. I understand that, but I just think at this stage, you know, it's just not that if we look at other options, it would certainly probably benefit everybody. But certainly, I think at the end of the day, coming out, we expressed our concerns, but then there appeared to be a majority of people in the council over there that would give this 12 months. You know, go and ask them in front of it, and Jim can confirm that the balance of those. Well, I should probably start the 12-month, you know, review would be a better way of looking at it. But I just fear that there could be further problems down the line, and that once it's there, it'll have a move. You know, and that's that could cause another issue down the line. But that's my, you know, detailed meeting as I see it. You know, and we're that day, and all parties were represented. You know, whether represented by the DEA, so.
To note that there has been a proposal then to not continue with it, which is proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Taylor.
So the difficulty I have with this is the recommendation that came out of a DEA meeting. This is meant to be community plan. In dealing with all the issues and bringing them a recommendation down into the committee. The difficulty I find is now we change the recommendation that came out of that DEA. So I don't myself, I don't feel comfortable voting in regards to the proposal. I would need the numbers of people who are going to be impacted by the decision that this council is going to make. The young children and the other members of the community issues in public transport, they're going to be standing in the rain. So I don't even take that lightly. There's notice on this council to provide the infrastructure for public transport. And part of that is the provision of bus shelters. And to say, we'll find somewhere else for it, you have the exact same arguments being made. If you try to relocate it somewhere else, people will be fearful of anti-social behaviour. Maybe our government said, oh, so you're going to have the tax here. So I think we should then look and allow it to be finished and then monitor the bus shelter to see is there anti-social behaviour. If there's anti-social behaviour reported, then the PSNI will deal with that. And moving forward. But at that stage, if we give it a period of time, say 6 months, and there was no anti-social media occurring at the bus stop, then we would be in a better place to move on. You know, I just find it's a difficult decision to ask the committee to make when the officers make a recommendation. It's coming out of the DEA meeting and asking for the committee then to reverse it. I just think it puts us in an impossible position. What's about the helping community plan?
Councillor Clark has made a proposal then that they stick with the recommendations that came out then of the officers' report, which has been keeping them with the discussions that were taken at the DEA level. Is there anyone?
Oh, we have that from 6 months ago. Is there a recommendation?
So we have two existing. We have a proposal then to take on board the officer's recommendation by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Casey.
And
then we have so we've got the last one that would be a 6 month period then, if you'd want it to be. So sort of 6 month. We have two proposals, and just I'm constantly they have two proposals, which are contrary to each other. And I do believe that both.
Can I just have a question just before you do that?
Councillor Herbert.
The officer say that the bus doesn't work in time, the where the bus shelter is located, if the bus is going out of the state, but you have to wait for the bus driving across the road. And the night correct thing is that the buses, the Transite buses don't stop at the bus stop. And it's not that it's just an hour before. You think they're talking across from the road, people are across the road. It's just not based on that.
There are three bus stops in the development, two on the way up and one on the way down.
Yeah.
The bus now will only go up the road, but if you stand at any of those bus stops, if a passenger is standing at the bus shelter that we have erected, the bus driver will see that person stand at the bus shelter and will stop for that person. Yes, and that person, to get on the bus, will need to cross the road and get on the bus that way.
I understand the owner of all of the girls, and I know that like Councillor Clark said, had no knowledge of the location where we go there. But if we take this here is the area where the bus stops over there, where the one of their building is over there, and I know, and I'm standing at it, yes, but the bus stop will put up, where it should put up inside of a bus station like that, and the bus shelter got there, and stand there, and it's, as far as safety is, if a passenger is concerned, let them get off on all the other road. But they have to cross the road here. This is quite confusing to me.
Sure. I contacted Translink in relation to this particular thing, and it is their view that where our bus shelter is currently is still serviceable for people to use. They do not appear to have an issue with people standing in that bus shelter and the bus stopping on the opposite side of the road and the passenger crossing across the road to get on the bus. If you think about it in its logical way, residents who live on both sides of the road, and therefore those residents who live on the opposite side of the road from where the bus stops, will have to cross the road at some stage in any case to get on the bus. Now, the purpose of finishing the bus shelter would be, we will then have a fully serviced bus shelter within the development that can service that bus going through. So in times of inclement weather, when someone comes out, rather than stand in the open without any shelter from the weather, they will have somewhere to stand and wait for the bus. The bus comes on a very regular basis during the day, 17 minutes past the hour. Now most people who are going to come out to the bus will come out close to that time. If it's raining when they come out, they will have somewhere to stand and stay out of the rain and watch out for the bus themselves when it's coming up. When they see the bus, either the bus driver will see them and stop, or if not, they can hail the bus and it will stop for them and they will cross the road and get onto the bus.
Councillor Clark, are you wanting to come back in? Sorry.
No, thanks. Sorry.
Councillor Taylor.
Just I'm conscious that it's only the constant here, and it's my husband on the for a period of time, but even if I just would like further discussion to take place on this, you know, try and come to some sort of resolution that everybody can have with. You know, it's a really, really difficult one, this, and I'm not concerned about it, where it's going to go, you know, it's, I need the information sometimes, it seems that they'll come to the here and the information that the service can provide, and then come this meeting, come here, there's another service, but that's not given, so, Translink, if I'm being honest, there's some information we've been getting from them, hasn't been, you know, the details they would have liked, to be honest with you. I'm just, you know, I'm conscious about that, and I'm conscious too that sometimes, you know, I don't like making decisions that are already there. Whenever I'm not, you know, if I have all the information that's available with them, you know, I wouldn't try and have them today in the morning or something like that there. I'm just conscious of that as well. But certainly, you know, I think we do need to look at this as a DEA again and try and find some sort of compromise on this. Because it's, you know, it's really is, you know, at the minute it seems to be there's going to be one side running and another losing. But I don't think that's, you know, ideal for anybody.
So would that be an amendment, Councillor, then, to the initial proposal, then, that we not go ahead with officer's recommendations, however, the issues come back to the DEA to be discussed at further length?
I
have
that too.
What's the point of going back to the DEA? Well, I think the problem, really, I'd be honest with you, not the DEA meeting, but it seems to have a couple of rules out there.
So why do you want to take that?
Because I think there needs to be a proper discussion about it. I think there's a lot of, you know, how would I say, I'm conscious of the aim of the public meeting. The allegations and the information have been provided by officials and by Translink and by everyone else. And the whole thing is actually upgraded to that. And that's why I end up being in a constant discussion now and actually about the site with the bus shelter. So what information has been provided to this issue?
I think, Councillor, we've got to a point where we have two proposals that are put in front of us. I do think both proposals are contrary to each other, and we do need to take a vote on them. I understand that it's a very difficult and sensitive issue for many in the room, especially regarding the fact that it is across DEAs, and there are those here, including myself. I don't particularly feel happy trying to vote on something that would be happening in the DEA, it's not my own. However, we are here to do that duty. We are part of this committee, and we have to act accordingly. So if we put two proposals to a vote, then we have a proposal then from Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Taylor, that we not proceed with the officer's recommendations. However, we do bring the issue back to DEA for further discussion. We have a show of hands for those who are in favour. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And those against? 1, 2, and 3. So that's 5, 4, 3 against. So the proposal carried. And that would then supersede the second proposal then on the card. We can then move on into item number 9.
Sure, I'll just leave it before leaving. The proposal is then to take it back to the DEA. When it comes back then to this committee, how are we going to be informed of the issues and the discussions that have been taken at the DEA? I think this committee should be furnished with the details from Translink, PSNI. It should this committee given them that information. I can't see the point of bringing it to the DEA and then cross it back in the same position.
Councillor, maybe put a solution out there. Would it be then an idea for us as a committee then to invite the CBOI and DEA then to come to this next committee meeting so we can fully discuss then the issues?
Yeah.
Would it all be in agreement with that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So if then the decision then comes back to be amended then for the decision, mm-hmm. Well, what would our agreement be?
The January meeting,
can we organise that then, Kevin, before the January meeting?
I suppose it depends how quickly we could set up a meeting with the CBOI DEA chair. So it'll be tight, but we'll make our best efforts to do that.
I just came in and we have this issue of sooner or later.
So we can get the layers there.
Yeah.
so then that they have a meeting then.
We have a meeting
up there then. So Kevin, it's impossible to be and sorry, but I know that we're fitting a lot on here now at the moment. Can we get a site meeting then, one site, and then a meeting, follow the site meeting, and a council facility then?
Sure, is that a meeting of the RTS committee, or is that a meeting of the Stream Gudgeon DEA?
From what I gather, we hear from all interested parties, that would be the DEA councillors, including those who are on the regulatory and technical services committee. I don't know,
that's what members are asking for. Chair, we have a building in Clockway Community Centre, which we probably book a room there and hold a meeting and invite all the Dublin DEA councillors and all interested councils from the RDS committee, and a report from that we intend to bring back to the January meeting of this committee.
Okay, possibly. Happy to end the seat. If we don't, we can proceed to item 9 to release the public convenience of the disaster. Kevin, something?
Sure, this report concerns a proposal to renew and extend a lease of part of a building in Bestbrook, which is owned by the trustees of Bestbrook Institute, which the council has been operating for some years now as a public convenience. The facility comprises a male and a female toilet. The current lease has expired some time now, and is proposed, subject to valuation by LPS, to enter a new lease for a 3-year period with the trustees to continue the use of this facility as one of our public toilets, Chair. So it's the committee to approve that action.
So the recommendation has been approved by Councillor Taylor and seconded by Councillor Cranmer. All in agreement? Okay. We can then move on to item number 10, which is the proposed Council Public Convenience Study Group. Kevin,
sure. Agreement,
please.
Sure, reports have been provided for the last two RTS committees on RPCs. Public Convenience has given an outline of their condition and a proposal for a $1.2 million capital spend to modernise and improve these facilities. This is to be considered as part of the reassessment process. In progress of these works, there will be a number of decisions to be made concerning the nature of the facilities provided at the various locations, so as to ensure the provision meets, as far as practical, all stakeholders' requirements, and that our provision takes cognizance of relevant council plans and strategies. To this end, this report, Chair, recommends that a cross-directorate study group of officers be established to gather all relevant information to inform future spend on our facilities. It is proposed that additional support to the officers group will be provided by the British Toilets Association, or its Ireland-based subsidiary. And technical support will be provided through the... And we'll also be seeking support from our colleagues in the estate section, who will be appointing the contractor to carry out condition reports. It is a serious proposition, Chair. The British Toilet Association are experts in the field, and they can provide information which is not available to ourselves, and experience from other authorities which we can learn from. But it is a big spend that we're proposing, $1.2 million, and we want to ensure that it's well spent, and therefore it's well directed, and we feel that that's why this study group is necessary. So we're talking to our colleagues in tourism and recreation, so that they're telling us what it is that they want or what their stakeholders want, so that we in the RTF committee are providing what it is that people want on the ground, and to the standard people want on the ground, and to keep that just within our own department without taking cognizance of what other officers and indeed yourselves as councillors are saying, I think would be to miss the point in the spend that was going on the court. Sure.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I have to say it's refreshing to see this type of approach, you know, with the different departments working in collaboration, and I think that's very important in regards to sort of all spend across council, but particularly when there's looking to spend $1.2 million. It's important we get this straight. It'll be a considerable period of time that we refurbish the toilets again. So we do have to take on board health issues, you know, citizens with autism, dementia, Alzheimer's, age issues also.
But also then, as we've said before, the tourism factor is very, very important because your toilets reflect a lot about a person to the area. It's important that they are up to a really good standard. So I think that's a very, very useful thing to be doing. The issue with the British Toilet Association. The cost implications are large. I'd imagine you can bring people over in hotel rates and flights in regards to that. Maybe an indication on the cost implications of that. There has been talk of the Toilet Association of Ireland. Is it possible to get a price for either to do the work and then the one that's best value then?
We're getting
into
the constitutional
right
here.
As indicated in the report, anybody appointed will be appointed under the council's procurement policy, so to ensure that they're appointed correctly. The person that I've spoken to actually within the British Toilet Association is based in Bangor, County Down, and therefore they are accessible to us, and they have provided a similar service to other councils such as Belfast City Council and helped them develop their own public convenience strategy for the City of Belfast. And the person who I've spoken to represents both those organisations, the British Toilet Association and the equivalent subsidiary in Ireland. So
it's going to be sure. I mean, I've said that it's open to both organizations, and I think that's the way we should be with it. If you look at it, I suppose we do that without it.
That's the both of them exactly. And that just fits for the actual report itself, and then the method that it is just going through the procurement process.
Yes. And Councillor Thank you, Chair. Just anyone fully concur with the points raised by Councillor Clyde. Glad to see this report coming about. The audit and stipend are very much a mobilised and well organised grouping now. And it's very, very important that the rights of those kids are fully respected. In all aspects, and it's not only autism, other people with less ability needs have to be accommodated, and it's great to see that has been recognised and is hopefully going to be acted on. Also, in relation to tourism, sure, sometimes when people come into our district, the first interaction they have with council facilities is public convenience, especially after a long journey. So very much is can be perceived as a shop window as to how we do our business. So again, I'm glad to see that's in the report. I'm glad to see there's going to be a crossover here between directors and that the council are taking this issue very seriously. So I know it's already been seconded. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chair. Personal report on this is the on previous occasions, the greatest concerns of the toilets, etc., the opening and closing and the whole condition of them. But again, John, what I said before, say that first impressions always last, no matter where you go. I think it would be first trouble would be to the toilet or whatever. And actually, one is you base your impression on the place, and the clean, whatever, they know the rest of the place is first class. So again, as I said, I welcome the paper in the sense that, as I said, it's cross-directed, and I think it's just a common goal that this programme will work will be a step in the right direction, both for the citizens of this district and also for our residents. So, thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor, so we have it to be proposed then by Councillor Clive Sackett and Councillor Burns, then we accept the officer's recommendations and allow them for the procurement policy of the council that is taken when going out to tender them for those groups. And all in agreement? So then we move on to item 11, which is a review of the resource levels in the refuge section. And for this, I'm going to pass to Adam first.
Thank you, Chair.
When I was brought in as an interim, the chief executive gave me quite a long list of objectives. One of those objectives was all-encompassing, and that was to review the services within RTS to see that they provided value for money in an efficient and effective, and so on. So I've been working through each of the areas, and the area most recently looked at was around the waste service. And of course, we've got the aftermath of the brown bin rollout. We've talked about blue bin and glass, and waste is very much on the agenda. No more so than for residents who obviously experience the waste service. Sometimes that's the only service that they see from the local authority. And again, they make judgments on their view of the authority and the place. So the review has actually looked at the whole aspect of the customer service end, the number of calls we get, the number of complaints, the number of staff we have, the number of vehicles, and basically the daily provision of waste collection. And there are peaks and troughs, and there are issues of sickness, and there are some older vehicles within stock. All of that has led to the review that's set before you. And it looks at the very basics of the service, and it looks as to the capacity of the staffing of both the waste service and the cleansing service. And what it recommends, now we're able to take stock a couple of years in to the authority, perhaps we now think about making some of the roles within the service permanent, because we've utilised temporary provision to give us flexibility to allow us to see how the waste streams have gone and how the routes themselves have been fulfilled. And so I think in terms of timing, we need to make permanent the workforce to achieve 100% of the collection necessary on each of the routes, both in Downpatrick and Newry. But also to note that in any given day, even with 100%, issues such as sickness, annual leave, training, union activity and so on, the occasional vehicle breakdown, we don't have 100% available to us every day. So we need a bit of a buffer to allow and to ensure that every day, every bin is collected across the district. So this report sets out for a phased approach. One, conversion of temporary postholders to permanent, and two, the creation of a 20% additional capacity within the service. The costs are broken down in the report. Overall, we're looking at about £500,000 worth of cost, but because we are able to make savings, I think, on some of the waste streams, i.e. the more we take out the black bins and move it to brown bin and blue bin, then the less cost, and that less cost equates to saving, which I'm suggesting is reinvested in the waste service, typically on the staffing element. So the report actually sets out that the first phase can be paid for within the current service against savings that we think we can make. The second element, we also feel over the next 12 months there are other savings to be made. But the final phase, we feel, needs to be funded initially through a revenue growth bid. So in terms of timing, that's why I think this report has been perfectly timed, in that you could consider our revenue bid against all other revenue pressures across the council. And we're requesting here an additional fund of £203,000 out of the revenue budget moving forward. But again, we're hoping that that in itself can be absorbed in future years as we get better at diverting waste from one stream to another. We also mentioned vehicles, and of course vehicles figure greatly within the capital programme, and the council has already committed to significant spend on vehicles. That will help considerably moving forward in terms of less numbers of breakdowns and so on, but we're suggesting we retain a number of the existing vehicles, the better vehicles, so we always do have a pool of vehicles to call on as and when vehicles might break down. So again, we don't have the excuse that that route wasn't collected because there wasn't a vehicle. So we want to try and cover off that base as well, but at no extra cost. We'll keep that within the current budget regime. Otherwise, Chair, I'll be happy to answer any questions regarding the recommendations as listed.
Thanks,
Alex.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Alan, for the report. this was discussed for an MVP today at the strategic wastewater group.
we all know the issues. We all feel the phone calls. And the constituents have been unhappy with the level of service that they've received, particularly since we've amalgamated councils and formed a new council. Today is our opportunity to put right a few of the issues of legacy, I suppose. I mean, from the downside, it does not surprise me that we are understaffed, because we made the conscious decision not to spend money on staffing up during the RPA process, because we knew there would be a certain amount of jobs that would be lost, and we knew there was an unknown amount of resource coming from all sides of the council. And until we got our head around exactly how much resource we needed, what the routes would be, the optimum routes for the new supervisor area, we couldn't make the decisions that we were allowed to make today. So initially, I suppose, when we looked at the figures, 480,000 489,000 is a scary figure, but as the director has pointed out, we should immediately see savings adding up to over 200,000 of that, and it would be reasonable for us to expect to see that 200,000 pound per annum spend should be able to be clawed back as the new staff die in. But the reality is, we don't have enough staff at this moment in time to collect things on a daily basis. And that's the claim on us, that we are committed to doing the service, committed to the ratepayers, and we don't have the staff to do it. A lot of the staff that we have in place are technically temporary staff, contractor staff, and these people have been working with us for as much as 5-6 years. They've accrued permanent rights. We need to give them the proper employment status, the job security. We can't expect to have high morale among our staff when we have uncertainty. This will give them the certainty. We will have difficult conversations with the likes of unions and stuff like that. But I envisage, if we authorise this stand tonight when it's approved by council, that this is the first step to getting a happy staff. They're doing their job and collecting all the bins on a regular basis. And that the non-collection of bins will be the extremity, the one-offs, rather than the regularity. So I'm happy to propose the report as to the points.
Thank you, Councillor. I have Councillor Stokes next, and just to advise Councillor, there is a number of Councillors here with me again, so I have it in the system that I've been working on here. I've been taking the review names out of my mind and indicated your interest. So, Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, sure enough. Councillor Barnes, a couple of people I want to say. We know the issues. We know the emails are getting out, things are not lifted. We know the complaints have shut up, the formal complaints are getting into council, and we're hearing it ourselves. And we can decide to deal with that or not. I think this is the first step in dealing with that, and I certainly would second the proposal. I suppose, this isn't, I think this is going to be all issues coming back to us in terms of staff and how we manage the terms and conditions. There's a lot of work to be done there still, and I think we know that. So, just by way of communicating, I would say, talking to staff, I hear a lot of positive feedback on the director, and to keep going the way it's going, sure, that doesn't sound too bad, right? Thanks, sir.
Councillor Tumbling?
Yes, thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you for the report. It's good to see that the issues are being addressed. Just a couple of queries. Should you have actually the perfect working day with regard to refuge staff, or there's no absence, and everything aligns, where would those extra staff be deployed on such a day? And just the other thing is that I don't see it in here, and Gary touched on briefly there. The terms and conditions from the two old councils, is work being done to marry those two different practices between their public and Uri, and how far away are we there from getting a unified approach on that? Thank you.
Yeah, the perfect day. we would hope over time that you do get to that
scenario and certain times of the year you might. And certainly at the moment it's looking very good this week and next. But in terms of the extra capacity, what you'll note in the report is that we've pulled a great deal of capacity out of street cleansing. And there's a lot to do. And I think on any given day, we will never have a difficulty with applying the resource that we have on that wider environmental aspect. Over the coming weeks, I'm going to bring another report to the committee that talks about the wider environmental aspect and how many issues do need to be easy to report, but more importantly, quickly fixed across a whole range of issues, whether it's long grass or dog muck, etc., etc. So we're looking at that, and myself and the Chief Executive are discussing how that can be formed and be brought back. That also involves a re-engineering of how we deal with customers in terms of the contact they make, what we record, how we log it, how we report it, more importantly, how quickly we react to it. So that is being looked at comprehensively. So there'll certainly be plenty to do at all times, even when we get to that point of 120%. In terms of T's and C's, that has been mentioned every day since I've been in post. And of course, there are differentials. There's over 30 different terms and conditions across the waste service, from the very basics of a 4-day to a 5-day week, to a 36 to a 37-hour week, as well as many others. And I myself with HR and senior managers within waste are meeting unions. We're meeting every 2 weeks, and we're going through each and every term and condition. And we're already at a point where the unions have come back and identified what they would like to achieve an equalisation across both councils as well, legacy-wise. But when I say both, there's actually 6 different types of terms and conditions through all the different organisations that came together when the new authority was formed. But in terms of priority, again, the Chief Executive asked that I look at that as a priority because fundamentally they're frontline services and there seems to be more prominent issues where the two authorities have differentials in grade, in working hours, in how things are regarded and paid for. So again, I'm hoping over the next month or so to be able to take that to the Chief Executive some recommendations and they will have implications which we'll have to reflect on and consider. Because you can't do it for nothing. There is a differential that we'll be looking at, and we are looking at that as an SMT also. But yes, if we can fix that, if we can fix the staffing levels, then I think you're on a more positive footing to certainly address many of the current issues that you're having to deal with day to day, in terms of you shouldn't really be receiving reports from this thing. I think you've certainly got more important things to be doing as a week, so we want to sort out the basics with those changes.
Sure, I'd like to give a brief look at this in my head. It will take a few from the numbers of complaints we've been receiving regarding the service that actually needed the case. If you line up, thank God for the significant amount of work it has been carried out in respect to this. So, in my head, I'm very happy to support what's included in these proposals and certainly hopefully we can see a significant level of improvement in the street before it has a consequence to this.
I also have interest in Councillor Curry, so Western State.
Yes, all the questions that I have already been answered, and I must compliment you on the way forward that you're taking, because this is one of our statutory obligations in relation to the public.
Councillor Mike, sorry.
I'm sorry, Mike. And the difference here, the difference of working conditions between the three councils. I hear you saying that the unions in Europe, maybe on a regular basis, could be revisited. I must congratulate you on the work that they've done up to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Catherine Anders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. More or less, as I say, we'll have an intense project examination that we've supported this strategic development of the staff event. And, you know, I'd like to pay tribute to our staff. They're right lawyers and have a proper lot of conditions and they've put the extra money to provide a service. And especially in this past, a lot of us have seen the bread been rolling, especially the admin staff who've got the reason.
Do they have to put up with a lot of term conditions or just conditions?
Sorry, sorry.
Did you say they have to put up with a lot of term conditions?
No, I didn't say that at all. Sorry, no, you picked me up wrong. I'd more like to well start saying this is Brian Dunn with the rollout, especially our admin team and people the emails. Sometimes the particular phone bad would be torture, but the definitely go the action there. And the staff and producer. They could be sure key in of get a service to deliver for the people of the district by having staff and key to get the staff tools to do the job. And the council work in tandem with them and showing that they're interested in that we are a current employer. And it's good to keep happy staff. I know some staff have been 6 or 7 years of service under the belt and becoming permanent in due course, you know, it's definitely, we're definitely showing staff, you know, that, and more or less 3 times and providing them the effect where they need it and keeping them there. But again, long term, hopefully this will have a better morale. The loyalty is sort of a harmonization between the two sectors, Tabernet and the council, and then set these step around and step in the right direction. Do support it.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor, it was proposed by Councillor Burns and seconded by Councillor Stokes. From what I'm hearing, there seems to be very much consensus around this. I have to thank Adam and all the staff, as everyone else has here, because refuge is probably the biggest item in the council's agenda. As John Minister Tilly was saying earlier about public conveniences being the first impression for tourists coming to the district, how we collect our business is the first impression of our residents of us as a council, so it's extremely important that we get it right. Thank you. If we can move on to item 12, which is an options approval for the collection of mixed recycled. Liam, can I pass to yourself?
Thank you,
Chairman.
Chairman, this report the potential blueprint and draft collection I have received a lot of discussion. And the paper attached to from us again was really for noting the paper has been discussed today at the Waste Strategy Group. And the paper gives details of the workings of the project team and details of timetables of which we're going to bring a final report through to you. The final report is scheduled for February 2018. And basically what I'm asking is that the council look at this report and approve the timetable at paragraph 631, page 52 of your papers, whereby you can expect the final report back from us in February of next year.
Thank you, Sam. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to propose that we do report. I suppose it's probably somewhat more than detailed, sure, I remember. In this round called Council and this committee back in June this year. We're seeing a lot more of the detail which was we were somebody asking for the thing, so at the end of the report very well, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, the report's been welcomed. It's obviously a staging point, and again, it's something that the council instructed Adam to come in with a fresh set of eyes, and I think he's certainly done that. The one thing I would say, again, coming from today's strategic waste working group, was that we met the consultant that's looking after the TEEP assessment, and having met him, having had a chat with him, and I have full confidence that the options that he will bring back come February will give us a more informed basis for making any changes or recommendations on the extent of our current decision. So I think it's so far so good, and we'll look forward to the next group of votes.
Who's second from all the if we can then move to item 13, which is an updated perspective on the development of the new study community site, aside Patrick. And Liam, this will you again, please.
Chairman, I was asked to provide an update regarding the development of the study community site. The details have been provided in the report, and that's the one item. The two students will only start tomorrow, and that's due to the fact that there's snow for a week or so. They had what the contractor will be back on site tomorrow. Everything else will remain on target. We'll issue the tender document 15th of January, it's about 18 to 20 weeks project that will commence. We hope on the 5th of March, and the project to be finished in August of 2018. And just the last item, and just a copy of any interested countries want to see the layout drawings off the site, can be contacted in certain groups. We're happy to go through.
Thank you very much, Dean. And do any councillors have any questions for Liam regarding the new site?
No.
And we're all in agreement then, if the council should be followed.
Yes, sir.
at the community on Island 14, which is active for the community sites for the social commercial waste. And yeah, this one for you as well, Shari.
Just to inform the committee that there is a great importance when we are undertaking in relation to a total review of our household community site. This reflects the look at the commercial entry for the site. Just to say that sites are currently subject to license conditions, and at the moment we only have two sites that are licensed to take commercial waste. The proposal to the council that to allow us to finalise the review that we're undertaking and not to open any of the other sites, open the other sites for commercial waste at this point in time, except with one proviso: if we have shops that come to us with, say, a small amount of cardboard, for example, or fully recyclable waste, we're quite happy to accept that option and free of charge. But when we limit the amount of really, we're talking about, equivalent to 3 bags or so, fully recyclable waste. But other than that, we'd ask that there's no change to the arrangement for collection of the commercial waste on our side.
Councillors, do we have anyone have any questions for Liam with regards to these recommendations?
Sure. Councillor Clark. Sure, just in regards to, it was brought to my attention that mentioned Adam about was collecting waste for citizens for repairs and bringing it to a civic community, say, and that was being classed as commercial waste. I suppose the argument is that the repair pays rates and it's still a household waste that's going to the recycling centre. It's not commercial waste. So I think there's a discrepancy there in regards to that. The person isn't charging the householder that extra money to put it in. This is like a big mistake. So I don't see how that is commercial. It's just like getting a friend next door neighbour not taking the waste to the recycling centre. So I'd like a bit more clarity in regards to that, or is there some flexibility in regards to accommodating both the repair and the person who's delivering the stuff up to somebody needs?
Go ahead, sorry.
It is a difficult one, in that we do have the man on the van, and many of them, and the majority charge residents for house clearances, but they don't then obviously, well, they hope to then avoid any charges for disposal of waste. So we are going to capture that complication as part of the review. We're going to have to look at permitting. It's very difficult, so for our tenants, to try and manage the situation, and in case you picked up with myself, I had that looked into just to see if there was any flexibility, but all I can say is it needs something of a more robust policy approach and a permitting approach that's certainly been used elsewhere. It still has flaws,
yeah,
but we need to make sure we're consistent. That's in a dimension that others don't see others being treated differently in terms of being charged, etc., etc. So it's not a quick fix, but we're certainly, it's on our radar.
Councillors, are we all in agreement with the recommendations?
Just one question, Chair.
Councillor.
Yeah, thank you. Probably well, for Liam or Adam, I just have a concern, Chair, that where sites aren't licensed to take commercial waste, does that? It certainly increases the possibility of fly tipping, but what was the statistics? Do the statistics of fly tipping bear that out? But how difficult is it to get a license? I'm assuming that's an NAEA issue. Is there any reason, other than being able to actually keep control of the amount of commercial waste coming in on is there any reason we can't have a commercial license for all the sites? I think that's what I'm trying to ask. Yeah.
Thanks. Sure. I have to run the choir. Thank you, Liam. Do you have to bring yourself in? Sorry.
Chairman, the view I have is that the site are detailed in cultural civic amenity type, and the, on that basis, therefore, the receipt of cultural waste would suggest to the council that as part of the reviews, we certainly can look at making available all the sites, but I think it's more likely and more practical to ensure that we have the stakeholders that the sites are only for primarily for the cultural waste. But I think it's something that has to be taken on board as part of our review to see the best practices.
We can tempt them with the report. Just for reference, if you have a proposer and a seconder possibly. Proposed by Councillor Timlin, seconded by Councillor Andrews. If we can then move on to item 15. And item 15 is for noting that refuse arrangements in open Irish households that many face during Christmas and New Year periods of it. Just there for your noting, councillors. And then item 16, which is the historic action sheet. And I can go through the historic action sheet. We have page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. Councillors, does anyone have any issues with the historic action sheet? Are we all content? The next item is restricted for part of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act for Northern Ireland, 2014. At this time, the item is deemed to be restricted by Budget Part 3 of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to financial business affairs of any particular person within the Council holding information. Can I have a proposal and second to go into closed session, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews, second by Councillor Burns. There has been a proposal then, on proposal of Councillor Timlay and seconded by Councillor Clark, that we accept the officer's recommendations with regard to the report. Thank you very much, Councillor, for enduring this last week of the year. I hope you all have a very happy Christmas. I hope Santa Claus is very good to you.
I like to be so cool.